What is this? What is it to us? It's a book, yeah. What kind of book? The book we need. Josh, turn to the page where it says you need to go to church and be a member of a church. Spencer, turn to the page where there's a verse that says, thou shalt attend church and be a member of a church. What do you mean? What are we all doing sitting here? The cats beat the gators, so everybody thinks they better go to church. Something major is going to happen. Are we following instructions? Here's the deal. I have people all the time. I'm fine. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. But I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to do that. I'm good. I have what I need. God and I are in a great relationship. Anybody ever heard that from anybody? Raise your hand. Let me see you. Anybody heard it from multiple people? Anybody willing to say, yeah, there was a time in their life when they said it themselves? Cassandra bringing double-handed. She said it more than one. I don't know. Anybody who comes from a pastor's family? Come on. Come on. I'm telling you, pastor's grandkid, you ever wanted to quit that mess? Then why don't we? It can't just be because something in my heart. It can't just be that. That's not what we teach our children. So I want to do what I can to try to teach you about following the crowd at chow time. To teach you about not what we are to be taught, but what inherently in who we are ought to occur. This is why I got to go to a lot of verses. All right, first, when the church was established in Acts, which we have walked all the way through. When the church was established in Acts, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of believers came to Jesus in a matter of days. And when they were set forth as to how they would be children, believers, growing Christians in Christ, here is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to breaking bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and wonders at the signs performed. They gathered together, had everything in common, sold properties, possessions, continued to meet together in the temple courts, and broke bread in their homes, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people, and the Lord added to their number daily. They gathered, were together, learned, grew, and by those means, God multiplied. Now, when the greatest preacher and teacher who would write the New Testament and show us what we are to do began every single teaching except his mentorship letters, every single teaching starts with an assumption. Let's see if we can figure it out. That's Acts. Let's go here. Romans is a book to the church in Rome, okay? Colossians to the church at Colossians. Yes, here we go. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his people, grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see what happens in Galatians. Paul, sent not from men nor by man, to all the brothers and sisters in Christ at church in Galatia. Let's see what happens in Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's holy people in Ephesus. There is a gathering of a certain group of people. The thing those people have in common is that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they are by their location, by their physical presence, gathered together in the place where they live, where they work, where they serve. Well, in Philippi, it just so happens, Paul and Timothy write to them, to the holy people in Philippi, together with their overseers and deacons, which we will look at later. Well, Colossians, to God's people in Colossa, the faithful brothers, grace and peace to you. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church at Thessalonica, grace and peace to you. If we go all the way to the Revelation, and if we find a different individual writing, to the angel messenger at the church of Laodicea, right. To the angel at the church of Smyrna, right. To the angel at the church of Pergamum, right. To the angel at the church, everything he writes to teach is given not to the individual but to the church. God teaches us through the church. And that church, in every context in the scripture, is local. It is where you are, feeding who you are, specifically driven toward what your sins and what your gifts are every single time. There's another thing that happens in the scriptures. Some of you guys are going to love this. Some of you guys are going to hate it. You have to stare at me, so it's no wonder this is a struggle. Thanks to the four of you who made it 5 years. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. When Steve and I met at the Starbucks up on Nicholasville Road by the mall, this was the verse that he burdened over, that he cried over, that he prayed over. This was the verse that he wept over before he decided that he would walk through the process of being an elder. Why? Because once that call is there, you can't get rid of this. Because they must keep watch over you as those who give an account. There was a time when I stood before this congregation in the fellowship hall as it was, and I looked out and said, something's got to give. Because what I will not do is I will not stand before God and give an account for what John Doe is deciding, or for what Jane Doe is deciding, or for what Ann Doe is deciding. I will not give an account for what you decide I have to do. I will give an account for what I do. Okay? Do this so that their work will be a joy. Ha ha. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying, church, listen to the scripture here. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. For that wouldn't be a benefit to you. Have confidence in them. Pray for them. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably. I particularly urge you to pray so that we may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of Jesus Christ brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of those sheep, equip you with every good thing for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. And the point of all of this, the point of your submission, the point of our leadership, the point of our joy, the point of your prayers, all of it right here. To God be the glory. Not Craig be the glory, not NBC be the glory, not people who come after us, but to God be the glory. Great things he has done. When we were getting ready to launch a church in Virginia, I had no desire to do it. I didn't want to do it. Listen to me. It took literally a piece of paper that we made a giant list on of all of the things that God was doing that pointed us right to it. I'm going to give you an extreme example, but this is true. All right? Went on a trip, came back, knew that God was calling us to do this, knew that we didn't want it. Sat down to tell our best friends at the time over dinner, loved to cook for them. They came in, we sat down. We're in the middle of saying, this is what we're getting ready to do. We're going to plant a church. My phone's sitting on the table, it rings. It's a guy from our ministry. I pick up the phone, he doesn't say hello. He's about a 425-pound dude, all right? Here's what he says. You need to start a church. First thing out of his mouth. I said, I'm sorry, what? Yeah. So-and-so and I were just sitting on the back porch, and we've been praying for several hours, and we just decided you need to start a church. I said, I'll have a story for you tomorrow, and I hung up. That was one of a page full of things that we knew that we had to do. So when we started the process, I waited for God to give me another elder-type figure, a guy that I looked up to. I went back and listened to a sermon that I preached on this, and I talked about this guy, and here's what we came to. As we were working through the covenant, which then has become, with a little change, our covenant, all right, he couldn't get past one thing. In the covenant, on the page that talked about members' duties, it says that everybody who signs on must submit. Everybody who must sign on must submit. There's verses there that say, you submit to the authority of the leadership. And here's what he said. He said, people will not come. People will not sign that. People don't want to be told what to do. And here's what I said. Good. He said, what do you mean good? The job of the church is to get people in. I said, no, it is not. Come on. No, it is not. The job of the church is for me to shepherd the flock, to tell them what's right, to tell them what's wrong to the best of my ability, and for them to decide if submitting to this cockamamie bald guy is what they want, because that's what it is, for better or for worse. You've done it with a wife, you've done it with a husband, many of you have done it with me. I want to apologize, but I can't, because we're called here together. But if I drive you away because you do not want to submit, hallelujah, I don't have to deal with your crap. And I gotta tell you something. I've lost a little bit of that hoorah in the last year or two. I've lost a little bit of that hoorah. I've never stopped believing it, but I've lost a little bit of it. You know why? Because we need a little more money. Because we need a few more people. Because we're growing and I see great things happening. And because it's nice to have new people come in when people take off. I fall prey to the things of the pastoral world too. But let me give you something that I want you to know. I want you to be here. I want you to submit. It scares me to death. It doesn't make sense in this world. Jesus never did. He never made sense. So I'm going to throw out to you something you're not going to like, and I don't care, that there are three reasons why people who don't come to church don't come to church. There are three reasons why people who don't come to church don't come to church. Number one, they are lazy. Period. It needs no explanation. It needs no discussion. They're not here because they'd rather be in bed, they'd rather be at home, their membership and devotion is to Bed Spring Baptist or St. Mattress if they're Catholic. The first reason on this list, people don't come to church because they're lazy. Let me tell you the second reason people don't come to church. Let me tell you why you have stopped going to church. Take a bite and chew on it. You are prideful. Pride, gossip, what I want has killed more churches than any big major political idea you can think of. Let me tell you why. Oh, we loved attending that church until he said. I loved attending that church until he decided. Here's the problem. I have to be held accountable for my decision. You do not. And if you're going to join the church, if and only if I obey you, stay away. Stay away. Pride is a killer, and it is something that Cy and Steve and Britt and Kinzer and Jamie have to fight off in me. I have never been not forward about that. I was listening to a leadership podcast this week that Heather Goodwill sent to me. It was phenomenal. And I was convicted of something that I have to work on. I don't do it because I think I'm right. I really don't. I don't do it because I don't know how to be a leader. I do it because it's the natural response in me. Okay? The natural response in me when somebody comes to me critically is to defend, okay? Even if I'm listening, and that's one thing people don't understand. The people who are closest to me know that even if I defend, a lot of times I will come back and I will do what they say because they're right. I just won't say they're right, I'll just do it. But I'll do it. It's true. But one of my deals, and I got too many amens going on in this section right here. One of my deals, first time my sister's raised her hand. One of my deals is I get defensive, and I don't even do it mean. I just come back with this, because I've probably thought through it. Steve will tell you, as frustrated as he gets with me for this part of me, it's also one of his favorite things about me. He has said it. I like that you think through every angle, everything before you speak. I've probably already done it. You know, we spent 6 weeks working on this life group thing, trying to think of every possible thing to win everybody over. It's not possible. So we'll do the best we can with what we have. I've tried to do that. That's why I'm defensive. But I need to change that. If I'm going to be an effective leader, I've got to learn to listen and not respond, which I try to do. Many of you I've said to, hey, I need to talk, think about this, but I've got to do a better job at that, and I was convicted of it because the pastor can be prideful too. But the church is prideful and does not want to submit when it is not what they want. People come and go from churches and stay away from churches because they're prideful. Let me give you the one that the rest of us who have worked through it, and it's not about us, it's not about pride. There are other reasons people don't get involved, sink their teeth in, sign covenants, jump in. That wasn't a target. Listen, because it's hard. Because for the last 50 years, mock my words, we've made church easy. We've made church easy because we want the numbers. The minute you start saying, I didn't ask, you ready for this? The minute you start saying, I didn't ask, God asked for 10% of your money, I'm out. God asks you to serve in your congregation with middle school girls, I'm out. God asks for you to attend church more than you attend badminton competitions. I chose badminton because I didn't want to tick anybody off. Don't have any badminton players. The minute you start preaching the gospel for what it is, that you have to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, that when somebody errs and sins against you, you have to go to them, and when you sin against somebody, you also have to go to them, when you understand that it is by grace you are saved and it is not of yourself, and people start preaching that hard, people leave. When I got here, I preached a series called Jesus is Difficult. And I went through some of these things, and I will not stop preaching that way. Because the minute I do, our numbers may go up, but our spiritual maturity will go down. And as our spiritual maturity goes down, so will that of our children, and then so will that of our children's children, and our country will end up where it is right now, with no spiritual compass. None. Because we started making church about attendance, numbers, lights, sound, and not about the gospel of Jesus Christ that is grace-giving, but is hard. And that's why Jesus said, not so you could hit a home run, not so you can hit a hole in one, not so you could score a touchdown. That's why Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ. Because he said, you can't do this without me. It's not possible. It's not possible to be forgiving without him. It's not possible to give money when you don't have any money, when you're looking at your bills without him. It's not possible to rise up and say, I am who you say that I am when everything else is pushing you down. But that's what the Bible says. So people don't come to church because they're lazy, because they're prideful, I want what I want, and because it is difficult. To the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings. Leaders, be shepherds of the flock that is under your care. Watch over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted with you, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that won't fade. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert, sober-minded. The enemy prowls around like a lion. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering as you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is not in here. No condemnation has seized you except what is common to man. And our God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide for you a way out. If you are who he says you are, understand that for every door that is slammed shut, there is a window that is already sliding open. For every window that is being slammed shut, there is a rooftop that is being ripped off. You have no idea how God's going to provide, but you can be assured that he will. So why do you need to be in church? Why do we need one another? Number one, obedience. Jesus calls you into the family of God, and he calls you the bride of Christ. Throughout the New Testament, the bride of Christ manifests itself through what? The church. The church is Christ's bride. Every kingdom follower falls into that group and should find a place in their vicinity to worship and to connect. Number two, humility. God blesses the humble and not the proud. We live in a world where we're all trying to climb the highest ladder, all trying to get the most money, all trying to get the most rewards, all trying to get the same number of trophies. Listen to me. We are not teaching people how to be humble. And we live in a world where the first finish first, but in Jesus' world, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Humility is the reason you step into a church, you put your head down, you understand what it is you're turning over, and you sign into a body that says, I trust the God. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. There's a movie, The Italian Job. The main guy before he dies, he always says the phrase, it's not you I don't trust, it's the devil inside. Okay, flip that. Don't trust me. Trust the Christ in me. Because this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you weren't called, and you don't have to be responsible. And when you stand at the pearly gates, God's not going to ask you how NBC did, but he will ask me. So you trust the Christ in me, in Steve, in Spencer, and in the next two or three guys that he better come on and bring. I need a witness. And because of need. You weren't created to be alone. You were created to be together. And when the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, are you safer alone or in packs? You're safer in packs. Because everyone can watch out for one another. I've used this analogy before. There's about 85 people in this room. You can look out for yourself, or you can be a part of looking out for everyone else. And then there are 84 sets of eyes looking out for you, and 84 sets of eyes looking out for everybody else. The math says you need us. If God's trying to tear you down, and if the devil's trying to tear you down, and he will, it's better to have a flock, a group of people looking out for you. Talking with the shepherds, saying, there goes one, and being a part of a non-mathematical God that will leave the 99 to find you. You need a church family, a church body, and you need to integrally, got it out, be a part. Not because there's a verse that says, thou shalt covenant with NBC. But because I think the evidence is overwhelming that everything about the expectation of people who come to know Jesus and are baptized in his name is all about coming together and getting closer and loving one another and having their faults laid out before them. You all get to lay them out sometimes before me or one another. I get to lay them out before all of you. But it comes with the job. That's why it says I'm to be a servant to you as well as a leader. I don't always get that right, but we make an effort. Let's pray. God, we all need to be reminded and to understand that I need Joey and Joey needs me. Bracey needs Jason and Jason needs Bracey. Steve needs Shelley and Shelley needs Steve. Damon needs Jeff and Jeff needs Damon. And to be honest, God, we see each other here on Sunday morning sometimes and we shake hands and we don't even understand that those need threads are there and that we can call, not everybody, but most people, anytime, any place, anywhere, and say you're a part of the covenant body that God created in us and we need your help and we will do our best to be there with wisdom and courage every time that there is a need. A parenting need, a financial need, a worship need, a desired need, we will make an effort. And God, we need everybody to reach out, reach in, and connect. Everybody who's called to connect with this body. So church, if you have connected, God, I pray that these people, that their strings, their heart strings through worship, through life groups, that they grow stronger. And God, for those who haven't connected, I pray that your spirit would send them earnestly where they want to go so that they can plug in and be a part of the family of God through the bride of Christ, his church, here at NBC on Main. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.